This is Marisa Lagos on KCRW, in for Madeline Brand this week. It's time now for weekend movie reviews, including a new Scorsese flick. Here to tell us if that's worth our time and money and what else to see or skip is Whitney Seibold. He contributes to Slash Film and co-hosts the podcast Critically Acclaimed. Hey there, Whitney.
Hello.
And Carlos Aguilar. He reviews films for the Los Angeles Times and AV Club. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad you're both here. Well, first up, Martin Scorsese film I mentioned. This has Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, and Lily Gladstone all starring in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Whose land is this? My land.
Well, 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 our war hero has arrived.
You made a good choice coming back here. Los Angeles are the finest, wealthiest, and most beautiful people on God's earth. They outsmarted everybody.
They have the say. Who gets the oil?
All right, so this is a true crime drama about the murders of Osage indigenous people for their oil wealth in the 1920s. It's based on David Grand's 2017 best-selling book. So, Whitney, at the center of this is war veteran Ernest, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and Molly, an Osage woman who comes from money and is looking to start a family. So it's their love story, but with baggage, and it's also more broadly about the violent exploitation of indigenous people in the U.S. And a side note, you know, the Osage murders spawned the formation of the FBI. So do they go into that? What do we need to know about this film?
Oh, golly, there's a lot to know. Leonardo DiCaprio plays this World War I veteran. He moves in with his uncle, who is the real life crime boss, essentially, William King Hale, who claimed to be this champion of the Osage community, but who is really arranging everything in the community in such a way that all of the Osage wealth was being funneled to white people. This is Scorsese once again sort of looking at the origins of American organized crime. This movie is 208 minutes long. It is sprawling. I think this is just Scorsese letting his characters and letting this story unfold in a really kind of natural way. So you're in for a long haul, but you're not going to be bored. There's not a lot of extraneous subplots. It's just one gigantic plot unfolding very directly. I feel like this is Martin Scorsese trying to finally get right what he kind of whiffed with Gangs of New York. He was really trying to tell a story of how the origins of America were really built on this corrupt base of wealth, crime, and white supremacy. And I feel like with Killers of the Flower Moon, he finally nails it. He's finally getting in with these characters. He is revealing that if it weren't for a few ambitious, incredibly greedy people, that a lot of organized crime and a lot of the more toxic things that exist in our country wouldn't exist. Scorsese is 80 years old, and it is astonishing how much he is still able to create these energetic, really thoughtful, really ambitious pictures that are so engrossing from beginning to end.
Yeah. I mean, Carlos, Whitney kind of alluded to this, but I know Scorsese did try to work with and consult with Osage people for this film, including Osage language consultants. I wonder if you feel like he was able to achieve some authenticity or at least a reverence to the Osage people.
I mean, clearly this is not for neither of us to decide, you know, in terms of, you know, the authenticity of the indigenous portrayal. And, you know, I agree with Whitney. You know, I think the propulsiveness of this movie really surprised me. I wasn't as taken by some of his previous films, like The Irishman or Silence. I felt the time on screen, the 3 hours, really kind of like, you know, I felt them. And in this case, in Killers of the Flower Moon, I was completely engrossed the whole time. The sequence of events and how he arranges, you know, the revelations or the unraveling of these characters is really powerful and brutal. I think this is one of DiCaprio's, you know, best performances. Just the way that you can see, you know, the remorse, but at the same time, the greediness and all the mixed emotions that are, you know, conflating his persona. Rarely have we seen, you know, a more intense and kind of a complex portrayal from him. Lee Gladstone feels like, you know, the heart of the film. There's rarely any dialogue in, you know, in her performance, but she feels like the only sort of source of a righteous kind of a, you know, voice in this you know, in this ocean of terrible people who are finding ways to get ahead. But I do hope that people seek it out on the big screen, because I feel like being you know, kind of enraptured by it for 3 hours uninterrupted on the big screen, you know, really is the way that you can take in all of the moving parts that he's doing, and also to appreciate Rodrigo Prieto's cinematography, which is outstanding here. There are some scenes with, you know, with fire that are just breathtaking and kind of really make you wonder about, you know, the magic that it is, you know, the creation of the images for the cinema.
Killers of the Flower Moon is in theaters in wide release. Up next, we have a semi-autobiographical mother-daughter dramedy, The Persian Version.
I have your test results. You are pregnant.
I didn't even get knocked up from a one-night stand.
You're pregnant by a gay guy.
I'm not gay.
You knocked up my gay sister.
I'm still gay. I just happened to get pregnant.
You weren't gay on Halloween.
All right, this is about a conservative mother and her bisexual Iranian-American daughter, an aspiring filmmaker who wants to be the Iranian-American Martin Scorsese. Carlos, tell us about their relationship.
Yeah, this one is a fun one and also really has a lot of interesting, you know, emotional points to make. Layla, the protagonist, you know, who's the only woman in a family of, you know, 9 siblings, is a kind of a, you know, the one that takes the brunt of her mother's anger at the world and, you know, her experiences back in Iran. I think the movie really balances very well the humor with the kind of more difficult things that it's, you know, grappling with. I do think that at times when we go into some of the larger flashbacks that the movie includes, we kind of, you know, get in too deep into the memory and kind of forget that we need to go back to the present story. But other than that, I really did enjoy the film. And I felt like, you know, it captures that complicated feeling of, you know, appreciating, you know, your parents' sacrifice, you know, all the things they've done for you to have a better life in this country and for you to, you know, for her to be a filmmaker and for her to be able to express, you know, her sexual orientation and identity the way she wants to, but at the same time wishing that they could see you for who you are and kind of, you know, have a two-way street between child and parent. So, yeah, I think this is a very interesting film that is also very enjoyable with some incredible, you know, incredibly fun musical numbers.
Yeah, it looks fun from, I mean, obviously there's some serious themes here, but Whitney, what did you think?
I was a little less enamored of the Persian version. I feel like all of the set pieces that are set in the present with Layla, the main character, she's played by Layla Mohammadi, are actually kind of a little bit contrived. There's a lot of fourth wall breaking. She addresses the camera a lot. She's really sort of flippant funny and tries to make a lot of references. And then we see flashbacks from her perspective of growing up with her mother in the 80s and the 90s and sort of how their relationship came to be a little bit strained. It's not until we're actually looking at Shireen, her mother, that we start getting flashbacks from her perspective that the movie really starts to take shape. And I like that entire portion. Everything else feels a little bit too flip to really get the nails in, and it actually becomes a little bit obnoxious after a while. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. There's some really fun stuff, but the opening attempts at this kind of hipster style kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit.
The Persian version is in select theaters beginning today. Next, we have a French and English language drama dealing with terminal illness and end of life called More Than Ever. Here's a clip.
I really like your blog. No stupid comments like, you're so brave.
Nothing worse than being told how brave you are by a healthy person. I hate healthy person.
J'ai besoin de partir.
She goes on to say she needs to leave. She wants to take a trip, even if her partner disagrees. Whitney, what'd you think of this tearjerker?
It's not just a tearjerker. This is actually a pretty serious look at facing the end of one's life. Vicky Creeps plays Elaine, and she's really fantastic as a woman who knows she is going to die. This isn't a movie about last-minute Hail Mary passes, about getting that last-minute transplant or actually saving her life. This is about facing death the way she knows how, and we can only do it once. And a lot of this has to do with her wanting to essentially be alone for her final days, which of course causes a lot of tension with her husband, who's played by the late Gaspard Ulliel. He died last January. It's contemplative. It is a little bit contradictory because we don't know how we're going to feel at the end of our lives. And I feel like Vicky Creeps really captures all of those contradictions, all of those really complicated emotions with facing death.
Mm. Carlos, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I do think that at times it gets a little long and kind of, you know, really indulgent in some of, you know, these contemplative moments. But what I wanted to say about this one is that I think it really is kind of an interesting example of, you know, the chatter that's happened online, you know, against, you know, the use of sex scenes in films, and kind of some people argue against them and, you know, whether a film needs them or not. And I feel like, you know, there are two sex scenes in this movie that are so integral to the film and for us to understand, you know, who she is and how she feels and how, you know, she understands her womanhood and, you know, her desire and her willing to continue going. So I do think that this is a great example in which, you know, those, you know, sexual encounters that she has with her husband are sort of, you know, unspoken, you know, really examples of who, you know, this character is. And I think that Vicky Creeps really captures that. You know, I'm always impressed by how many languages she can act in. You know, last year she acted in the Austrian film Corsage. So I really think that, you know, she's an incredible performer. And yeah, I was moved, even if I think it's a little indulgent at times.
All right. More Than Ever is in select theaters tomorrow. Okay, last up, we have a sci-fi thriller called Divinity. This stars Bella Thorne, Scott Bakula, and Stephen Dorff. It's written and directed by Eddie Alcazar.
This world has been threatened. Reproductivity has been declining at a staggering pace. This crisis has a name.
Has been morally corrupted by divinity.
Who are you?
We're saving you from making it so much worse.
In this, two mysterious brothers abduct a mogul during his quest for immortality. Okay, it looks a little strange. Carlos, give us some context here. Like, what is happening in this film?
It's very strange, and I'll give you as much context as I could get from it. I think it's really one of those that it's more of an experience and kind of like a visual spectacle rather than sort of being taken, you know, for all its ideas and themes. But essentially, you know, this mogul, you know, his father created this elixir called Divinity, which, you know, gives essentially immortality to humans. You know, it prevents, you know, physical and mental decay. So now everyone lives forever. But the trade-off is that 97% of people are, you know, unable to have children. And so these two brothers, strange brothers, you know, come from outer space to get retribution from this mogul who has, you know, attempted to play God and kind of upend the order of the universe. Bella Thorne plays this woman who's dressed kind of like Kylie Minogue in that video for I Can't Get You Out of My Head. And, you know, she is the leader of a pack of women who are rescuing other women who haven't been exposed to divinity, to this substance that, you know, makes you immortal. And so it's shot in black and white on film. It's beautifully done. It uses stop motion animation mixed with live action for an incredible fight sequence near its resolution that I think it's really the standout of this film. It's just very imaginative and bold and, you know, visually just kind of the kind of film that really, you know, makes you excited about new voices and independent film. You know, it's just kind of goes over the rails in interesting ways, even if at times the themes and ideas might be a little kind of a jumble.
Yeah, off the wall feels apropos. Whitney, Eddie Alcazar is also a game developer, and I know he blends live action and stop motion techniques in his work. How would you describe the aesthetic here? Did you like it?
The aesthetic is you've had maybe too much of a certain substance and you're seeing a midnight movie on a Saturday night in 1983. Like this is prime midnight movie material, and it is fantastic. The grainy sort of 16 millimeter black and white photography just looks great. The plot is not going to make any sense. It is aggressively strange, but that makes it incredibly unique. That makes it really exciting. I wait for cult movies like this every year, and every so often one comes along that will really just shake you up and remind you that there's stuff you haven't seen before. It's really fantastic.
All right. Divinity is in select theaters tomorrow. That is it for this week. Carlos Aguilar reviews films for the Los Angeles Times and the AV Club. Whitney Seibold is a contributor to Slash Film and co-host of the podcast Critically Acclaimed. Thank you so much to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.